Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry Wickstrom, and what a beautiful day in the Rocky Mountains here. We have got a full show for you today. Brad Peterson is joining me in studio. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Terry.
You know, we're going to talk quite a bit of fishing today, but we're going to start talking a lot of hunting. Waterfowl season's around the corner. Dove season starts in just a week or two. People should be getting ready for upland game, you know, practicing. And big game season, well,
archery antelopes already started. Archery deer and elk up in the hills starts next Saturday. It's a time of year in Colorado where the opportunities are plentiful no matter what outdoor activity you enjoy.
No, you're absolutely right. And we're going to talk about a lot of it here. We'll talk probably more fishing in this first hour. You and I are going to talk some fishing. You've been out around the area. Our park segments are both about, you know, they're going to be interesting. One's about high mountain cutthroats, and the other's about how they stock the bass in the area. So those would be interesting to people.
It'll be real interesting. You know, I've got a fishery biology degree and always love to hear more about what CPW is doing to improve the quality of the fishing opportunities in this state. And they do a great job, but there's always new technology, new opportunities to make things better.
Well, when they're not around, I blame them every time I don't catch fish, because it can't be a lack of talent on my part. But we will talk, and at the second hour, Nate Zielinski's got a huge announcement for his ice fishing tournaments.
So, I heard about that. I'm excited to hear what the details are.
Yeah, well, so stick with us. We got a lot, but let's start talking about the fishing, Brad. As people know, if they've listened, I've been kind of on the road lately, so I've fished a lot, but I haven't fished a lot here. So that's why I brought you in to kind of get me up to speed. I know you fish those both northern and northeast lakes a lot. What are you seeing out there?
Well, I tell you what, Terry, we are in a situation that I haven't seen probably in 10 years. We have more water in the northern and northeast lakes than we've had in a long time. And that's provided a really good opportunity for fish to get off a great spawn, good forage out there. The bite's starting to really pick up. Water temperatures are starting to drop with the shorter days, a little bit cooler nights. And things are really ready to take off on that fall bite on all the lakes. You know, Boyd, Carter, Horsetooth, Jackson, Sterling, Jumbo, all those lakes are fishing really good and should just be getting better.
Well, you know, this whole year, there's actually been pretty good fishing. But a lot of people haven't experienced because it's been different fishing. We had, you know, you harken back a year when we had no water at all. And then the snowpack we got, fortunately, it stayed cold, so the runoff was slower. We would have had epic flooding. But then we got rain all through that cold spell. So as you mentioned on the northeast lakes, all the lakes in the state are probably have more water right now than they've had in years after being as low as they've been in years last year. Now, we'll see what next year brings. But we didn't have a traditional spring. The fish were late to spawn. They were late to get going. I mean, we didn't have a 90-degree day till the end of June. And then all of a sudden, we had a couple months now of hot weather, and the lakes are full where they're normally drawn down this time of the year. So normally, the bait fish have well spawned. They're out suspended. The fish are chasing them. And there isn't really a lot of good fishing shallow. But because of the high water, it's kind of a mix. And people, you can catch fish, but you really have to look.
You do. You have to spend some time looking and realize that normally this time of year, the fish are really starting to get concentrated. Because as you say, the bait and forage is all pulled out of that shallow water stuff and is out suspended. So the fish are a little bit easier to find. But I was out on Boyd Thursday, and the trees are out of the water, right at the edge of the water, but there's still a lot of flooded vegetation. And I went up there shallow just with the electric motor looking. There's a lot of shad, young of the year bass in there. So there's plenty of food to keep the predators in there. But you go out in the middle of the lake, and there's big schools there. So there's fish in both locations. You really have to spend some time just looking around. And once you find them, fish for them, but no, it's not going to be, you know, you're going to get a handful of bites, and then when the bite slows down, you're probably going to have to keep looking. You're going to spend more time with your electronics this year on your deeper fish, and then if you're wanting to target the shallow fish, it's just a lot of cast because they're so shallow right now, you aren't going to be able to see them with your electronics. So pick the area, the highest percentage area where you're seeing the life, whether it's the forage, the bugs, bird activity going on. That's going to key in that there's life in there, the prey's in there, and that will bring those predators in.
So how do you approach? Let's take Boyd, how you would approach it. Now, a year ago, if I was out fishing Boyd, the water was drawn down already, and earlier in the year, there where you could pitch a plastic worm or a jig into the trees for a largemouth. Then as you pulled out, as the water came down, we're able to get those largemouth. They hung in that grass for as long as they could, and then they started being pulled out. So you could catch them almost till now or maybe even later, really shallow. But the white bass and the walleyes and those type of fish seem to have gone deeper. So if you were to go to Boyd today, how would you approach it?
If I were to go to Boyd today and I was targeting the largemouth, I'd be looking at the deeper weed edges, both the visible, the emergent weeds, and then the submergent weeds. So there's weeds in kind of that 4 to 6 foot range, the ones that you can see from the surface. And then there's some out in that 12 foot range. I'd kind of be looking at that, but I'll tell you something I noticed having been by there and checking the elevation is there's a lot of fish starting to move into the rocks along the boat ramps. And people think of Boyd, there's one boat ramp at the park, but there's a lot of boat ramps on the east side of the lake that are private. So I would be spending some time fishing those boat ramps if I'm going to fish for largemouth bass. Now, if I'm going to go out fishing for walleye or white bass, early in the day, late in the day, I'm going to be looking for the seagulls and the blow-ups on the shad. So I'm going to kind of be chasing those fish. Walleyes are going to be a little bit more bottom-oriented. They're a little spread out, so you may want to try trolling. The other thing is there's a thermocline in the lake right now about 24, 25 feet. Because the lake is so high, a lot of the deeper structure is actually below the thermocline and not holding many fish. So I would probably start with trolling, and one of the last times I was out there, I was actually catching some walleyes suspended trolling, only about 10, 15 feet down over 25 feet. So don't be afraid to run a lure through some of those schools of bait that are up higher. You might catch trout, white bass, and walleyes right in there. As the temperature cools down a little bit more, maybe look more towards structure, and you're going to get your jig and wrap spooning bite starting a little bit more. You'll be able to target it a little bit better just as the water temperature cools. I would say that's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's and typically before you start getting that structure bite, you get a better suspended bite.
Yeah.
And those shad will be out there suspended. And I've been out in that lake just casting a small crankbait or a small popper and just working it and kind of I almost work it blindly till I see some bird activity or some nervous water. And then I try to approach it. And when I found schools of white bass there, it's been incredible at times. And with those, you mentioned it, people don't realize the trout that are feeding up high on those shad and the ones you'll catch. I was out there with Ronnie Castiglione one time, and we were fishing the white bass with small crankbaits. And I'll bet every other cast was a trout instead of a white bass, and they were feeding on the surface.
Yeah, and the nice thing is those trout are holdover trout from spring stockings. So most of them are pretty good size. You know, you're talking 14 to 16, 17-inch trout. You're not getting the little 8-inch trout. They haven't started stocking it again for the fall. So the trout you are catching are really nice. One thing I would say if you're going to try trolling, increase your speed. I'm going 2.7 to about 3.2. It seems like that added speed is triggering a few more bites. And you mentioned casting. One of the lures that has been doing really good for me is I've been casting smaller swim baits. I've been casting an 1/8-ounce Moon Eye jig head with the 3.5-inch bio bait swim bait. Anything that's got a little bit of chartreuse in it, a little bit of brighter color seems to be working good, both at Boyd and at Jackson. Jackson has a ton of wipers in it right now. And the bite, if you want numbers and action, Jackson is the place to go. You may not get a lot of keepers because there's a 15-inch minimum.
On walleyes. On wipers,
on
too.
On the wipers, too.
Yeah.
That, but the number of 13 to 14 and three-quarter-inch fish you're going to catch, it's not uncommon right now to have 50 fish days or better.
And those are wipers, not white bass?
Most of them are wipers, yep.
Well, that's, you know, and are they out suspended? Are you trolling for them?
I am predominantly trolling for those until I see surface boils, and then I'm casting for them. But the trolling, don't be afraid to change up your lures. It seems like I'm usually running one or two. I'll have someone else out in the boat, and we're running four rods. I'll keep two rods close to the bottom and two rods suspended up where I'm seeing the bait fish. But you might get them to go on a jointed lure to start a jointed shad wrap. And then later in the day, they may go on more of a minnow, a deep diving minnow bait, and colors seem to be changing with as the day goes along. So if the bite slows down, but you're still marking fish, keep changing those crankbaits up until you start getting bit again. As soon as you catch two or three on one, switch it over, you know, switch a couple rods over to that, fish that until the bite slows down, and then start doing some more trial and error again.
I know we had a caller that was in a couple weeks ago, and by the way, I wasn't here last week. Chad LaChance did a special edition of this show that we aired on ESPN because of a Broncos training camp. So thanks of all of you that tuned in. If you missed it and wondered where we were, that show is podcast. Just go to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan, and you can listen to that. But thanks to Chad for filling in. But the week before that, we had talked a week prior about white bass. I can't remember if it was you and I. I think it was because we talked about Jackson Lake. And somebody said, I heard that, and I went out there, and he goes, we just killed him. So it's a great action bite right now. I think you're getting similar things down at John Martin with the white bass and the sawguys, I'm hearing. That's pretty good. And Pueblo, I've heard, is fishing really pretty well. But since you fish the Northeast a lot, if you wanted to catch some walleyes up and down that I-76 corridor, where would you go?
There's a couple lakes for walleyes. You know, one not to overlook is Horsetooth. Horsetooth always has good walleyes this time of year. Boyd is really starting to pick up. It's about ready to really go on a good bite. And then North Sterling, the whole year has just been a great fishery. It's holding a lot higher than normal water. And so the pressure early in the year wasn't as hard. So those would be the three lakes I kind of would target if you want to go up north I-25 or out I-76. You know, Sterling out I-76, and then either Boyd or Horsetooth up I-25 would be my top picks for walleyes.
And what about crappies? Last year we saw some pretty good crappie out on the I-76 corridor. What are you seeing this year?
Yeah, the crappies out on I-76 are doing really well. I probably would actually go to Pruitt. Pruitt has got a phenomenal number of crappies, and the water level is still really high, so there are some fish still in the trees. And then the deep area along the dam is holding some fish. Remember, some of those I-76 lakes, you're going to start having times that they're going to be closed to boating when waterfowl season comes on.
That's right.
So you've got about another 5-6 weeks to get out there and capitalize on the great fishing opportunities out there. But I just want to remind everyone to take that into consideration.
And if you're a waterfowl hunter, the second hour of this show, we're going to talk a lot of waterfowl. Jeff Caldwell's going to join us and talk some goose hunting. You're going to talk a lot of duck hunting. We're going to jump around a little bit on that, but it's coming up fast, folks. I think teal season starts in just two, 3 weeks or
something. Yeah, I think it's about September 14th or so.
Yeah.
Teal season starts and dove season.
Yeah,
you know,
dove
that's
season.
Next weekend.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of hunting in the second hour, but we want to keep talking fishing. I tell you what, let's take a quick timeout. We come back, we're going to join by some of the hatchery people. We actually have two hatchery segments coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about some new ways they're producing great numbers of largemouth bass to provide excellent bass fishing around here. And then we're going to talk about how they stock these cutthroats in the high lakes, the high mountain lakes that really provide an excellent angling opportunity that a lot of people don't take advantage of. That and so much more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Well, you've been nailing the bumper music. Are you sucking up to me or something?
Maybe.
I like the way you're sparkling.
Eagles and Dire Straits. You know, you get me going. Gives the energy to the show. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan. Brad Peterson is in studio with me. And Brad, we're going to come up next hour. Next hour is going to be great. Nate Zielinski is going to have a huge announcement coming up the next segment about his ice fishing tournaments. And then we're going to talk goose hunting with
Jeff Caldwell.
And then we're going to talk some shooting with Colorado Clays with all the dove and everything coming up. And then you and I are going to talk some duck hunting, which it's not that far away.
No, the waterfowl seasons are right around the corner in the small game, all the small game, because grouse opens here soon and a lot of that stuff. We're right at the cusp of that all happening.
Well, it's getting to be fall. But I want to go back to these two segments, especially the bass one. We talked about bass and panfish being stocked in almost every pond in Colorado. Now that they've developed these techniques, they're getting the numbers. It's hard to believe there isn't a pond near almost anybody listening here that doesn't have largemouth bass and probably panfish in it. And they're afraid to go. And I go out to these ponds a lot, and I see people fishing. And sometimes if I have time, I'll stop. I may share a few baits with them because it's not that difficult to get them. Now, you're not going to get a fish on every cast. You got to work a little bit for them because these ponds are pressured, but you don't need sophisticated equipment.
No, you don't. You can really, if people are trout anglers, panfish anglers, you can take whatever you have or get a real basic setup at one of the local sporting goods stores that will allow you to go out and chase these fish in the ponds and be real successful at it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. A 6 to 6.5 foot medium spinning rod. A lot of guys like to go to 7 nowadays. I like the 6.5, but that's personal. And a medium spinning rod, put a little super line on it, then change leaders. You can fish just about anything. And when you go, say, you and I have a few of our favorite ponds, and we know where they are. And if I sit here and list the ponds for you, every one of them, you have a pond by your house, but you're going to one of yours. How are some of the different ways you approach it and how do you fish it?
Well, depending on the time of year and weed development will change a little bit what I'm doing. If there's a lot of moss and weeds, there's nothing better than a weedless frog to catch fish. I mean, watching that bite is just phenomenal. But if I were to tell people a presentation style that's going to work year round, catch a lot of fish, it's going to be the stick worm, the Cinco, the Stinko, whatever you want to use like that, wacky rigged or Nico rigged. That's going to catch fish from early April all the way until it freezes up. The only difference is how aggressively you fish it and your retrieve is throughout the summer.
Why don't you explain to people what a Nico rig is? You and I are, we're tuned into these things, but a lot of casual fishermen don't know what that is.
So, probably about 15 years ago, a stick worm that was weighted with either a heavier plastic or a salt or something like that to where it naturally sinks without needing a weight in it was created. And one of the ways people fish it is called wacky style. So you put the hook right in the middle, and when you pull on it, the ends fold, and then it straightens out and kind of shimmies like a wounded minnow or a crayfish type. Now, the Nico rig, the difference is, you put a little weight on one end of that, and so it causes it to fall a little bit straighter down, but it also allows it with the hook in the middle, the weight's on the bottom. When you get those real mossy rocks, you're able to keep your hook above it and just kind of work it above the short vegetation. So it's two variations of kind of the same presentation, but that presentation, you just have to be patient. If the fish aren't aggressive, usually I'll go with an original, wacky rig and let it fall really slow, let it get all the way to the bottom, and then slowly lift it up and let it fall again. When the water gets warmer, I go a little bit more aggressive like the Nico rig, or don't let it fall all the way down and fish in the middle because the fish will come up and chase the wacky rig. But the Nico gets it down to the bottom. I can fish deeper and cover more water a little bit quicker.
Now, I use similar approaches, but a couple different techniques. First of all, depending on the time of the year, I might throw a lipless crankbait or a spinnerbait and just cover water because I don't know where the fish are. But I was out just a couple weeks ago. In fact, you can go to my Facebook page, The Best of Fishing, I mean, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, Best of Fishing is my YouTube channel. But go to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook, and you'll see me holding a couple solid bass. These aren't giants, but they were from a very small pond. And that day, I only took two baits with me. I took a 5-inch straight worm from BioBaits, and I took a 7-inch ribbon-tailed worm from Berkeley. I had both. And one, the bigger worm, I Texas rigged. What Texas rig is a bullet weight sinker, and the hook is buried in the worm so that it doesn't snag. You can just Google Texas rig. It'll come up. But I use the Texas rig when I want to cover water fish a little more efficiently. And when I'm really fishing that Texas rig, I am throwing it maybe right in pockets by the weeds, right in holes, or I'm throwing it off a drop-off, and I'm hopping it back, letting it settle. But I'm moving it around. I'm not letting it settle. When I fish the 5-inch worm or a 4-inch, I'll fish a 4 or a 5 straight-tail worm, and I'll put no weight on it, just a hook when I'm fishing a lot of these ponds. You talked about the mossy using the frog. I can skip that. It skips right across the top of that moss, and when I get to a hole, I just let it drop. Now, you got to have fairly significant line because you hook a fish in those holes, and it's going to take. But there's, I can't tell you the number of even big lakes that I'll skip that plastic worm. The other thing I can do is, like you did, I can let it sink down and just twitch it around, and it gets erratic, almost like a minnow or something, because there's no weight on it, and you can almost fish it in place. And every fish I caught that, if you look up my Facebook page, all those came on those two rigs.
Yeah, and I'll use that 5-inch worm the same way, but just use a finesse or a stand-up jig head, a really light jig head, and fish it on the bottom. But I'm talking like a 1/16 ounce jig head, to where it's just, you're having to fish it slow, but you're getting that presentation down where those fish are. And you're talking about the heavier line to get the fish out of the moss. One of the nice things with the new super lines, whatever the braid is that you want to utilize, you're able to do that, and it has a much smaller diameter, so you're able to use smaller reels and get the heavier weight line to where you can get those fish out of there, as opposed to if you were fishing mono or floral.
And one of the things I'll do in one of these ponds that I fished, I may take two rods. I may take an ultralight rod and a heavier rod for the bass. But if I only had one rod, I could still do it. Like, you put 15 or 20-pound braid, it's really going to have the diameter of 8-pound test or something like that. So you can cast a long ways with it. You can fish. And then I put fluorocarbon or mono leaders, depending on what I'm doing. If I'm fishing the panfish, I can put a two, three-foot, four-pound leader on it and get that same action on the bait, get the same lack of visibility of the line. Well, if I'm fishing bass, I can put a 15, 20-pound fluorocarbon leader on it, and that allows me, it actually helps my presentation, doesn't tangle as much. And now all I'm doing is cutting off 2 or 3 feet of line. Fluorocarbon can be expensive if you want to use mono, but just get a little bit of those, cut them off a little bit, and just put 2-3 feet on, cut off if you want to change, and you can just switch back and forth by just knotting on a new leader.
Yeah, and that works great. One thing to keep in mind for the people that are new to bass fishing, fluorocarbon line is heavier than water, and it's going to sink. So if you're wanting to stay on top of the weeds and stay out of the tangles, it's a little better to go with mono. Mono will actually float, and you don't get as much, particularly in the mossy areas, it doesn't drag your lure down there and get tangled up quite as much.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Nate Zielinski has an incredible announcement about his ice fishing tournaments coming up this winter. I'm sure he'll talk a little hunting, and we might even get a fishing tip out of him. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.